You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. How would you feel if I just left right now for reasons off the show, Mitch?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I could just sit here and talk by myself the whole time. That's the thing. I don't know if listeners want to listen to me talk by myself the whole time, so I don't know.
Of course, I would never do that to you. You're too good of a coworker to do that to, but Derrick Rose has left basketball for the second time in two teams.
Yeah. The whole thing is weird, but I mean, I hope it's not anything more than, you know, him dealing with injuries, of course, but, you know, it's just the whole situation and the, you know, his track record with injuries in the last, I don't know how many years. It's just, I mean, anybody in that situation, I guess, would just get frustrated to a point that you kind of, you know, are, you know, contemplating what you're going to do with your future. So hopefully he's not done. It's, you know, when he's healthy, he's really fun to watch, but man, it's kind of an interesting story there.
I'm going to move off of this topic real quickly just because we have a lot of Timberwolves stuff to get to. But I was talking with some basketball connoisseurs over the weekend, and we all came to the conclusion that this might have been something we should have seen coming, just because not only has Derrick Rose had problems off the court, and he was a really athletic point guard who has just been hampered by all these lower body injuries, but also because Cleveland seems to be in a dysfunctional place right now. And so those two mixing, I feel like we probably should have seen this coming at some point during the season after the first couple weeks of Cleveland basketball. What do you feel about it?
Right, exactly. I completely agree. And, you know, the thing with that you've heard and seen with Cleveland is you have to be kind of a, you know, a tough-minded person to deal with, you know, LeBron James and all the, you know, all the drama, I guess, that goes on in Cleveland, especially now or in the last couple of years. But I mean, right away it seemed okay for Derrick Rose and, you know, the relationship with the Cavs and that organization. But man, once you start dealing with that drama and everything, yeah, it seemed like a recipe for, you know, kind of disaster all along. And That's a tough situation for Cleveland, and it kind of throws another wrench into, you know, trying to have them, or, you know, them figuring things out here in the season that's not started too well for them.
No, it continues to be an interesting storyline, just the Cleveland Cavaliers in general. We got a lot to get to. We've got the recapping of the Suns win. The Timberwolves beat the Suns pretty handily too. And then we have a really great matchup tomorrow night between the Timberwolves and the Washington Wizards, as well as Mitch's hate love over the last week of basketball. What he's hated and what he's loved about the Timberwolves. That's all coming up. So first of all, 119-108, a little bit of a redemption, I think, after the Wolves were on the road and lost to the Suns after losing to the Warriors. Now they come back and they easily beat the Suns. I think the biggest storyline coming out of this game, and partly forced by Jimmy Butler, I saw your tweet, I watched the video of Jimmy Butler doing the interviews after the game. He's part of the reason this is the way it is, but Tyus Jones, a big storyline coming out of that game. He got the start because Jeff Teague was dealing with some illness.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he had a huge game, and, you know, it seemed like right from the beginning, right from the get-go, he, you know, kind of had a control over that game. Not just him, other people as well, of course, but, you know, it's, you know, especially in that first half, you know, he had set the tone of, you know, five steals in the first half. He was all over the place defensively, and, you know, it was kind of, you know, doing the little things, but also stepping up when needed. And that's what the Wolves need. That's what they're going to continue to need out of him. I know his minutes are limited when Jeff Teague comes back coming off the bench, but, you know, when Jeff comes back, you know, they need that from Tyus. And, you know, he's been huge stepping up for Jeff and, you know, in his absence, and especially with having, you know, Bielitsa out on that second unit, having Teague out with the starting unit. I mean, they need really all the help they can get, and Tyus, you know, Tyus really stepped up last night, and he has in the last really two games that he's been a big part of.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here a little bit. The skeptic would say that they won this game because Devin Booker was out. What do you say to that person?
I mean, it definitely helps that he was out. When you have an offensive, you know, power like Devin Booker, it helps not having him there because it's one less person you have to worry about. But, you know, I think that even from, you know, just from the beginning, the Wolves just seem like they, which they are, they seem like the better team, which obviously against a team like Phoenix, they should look like that. But, you know, it the way that they came out against Phoenix, you know, a team that likes to, you know, push the ball, play fast pace, you know, I think the Wolves matched that well, and they had good energy level. And, you know, whether that was, you know, Tyus or, you know, anybody else, or if they, you know, setting the tone defensively, if that made a big difference. But no, getting back to your point, it helps having Devin Booker out of the game just because he can take over a game like we've seen so many times in his career. So it definitely helped having him out. I mean, you want to beat a team like Phoenix or any other team that's at full strength just to, you know, kind of measure where you're at. But, you know, you take a win when you can get them, I guess.
There's a couple of things sticking out to me as I'm just thinking back over the game. A really fun game to watch, by the way. It looked like the Wolves' offense was really kind of at full sync for throughout this game. But one of the things sticking out to me, 66 to 50 points in the paint. This was one of those games where you want Towns to, because there's not a really good matchup for the Suns versus Towns, you want him to take over the game. And he responded with 32 points, 12 rebounds. Really solid performance from him. How encouraging is it to see him start to take advantage in a big way of those matchup advantages that he gets against teams like the Suns?
It's very encouraging, especially with, you know, Tyson Chandler's kind of been that middle of the pack guy for the most of his career, but he has the ability to take over a game. And that was kind of something I was kind of focusing on, just because, you know, when Towns has, you know, faced those bigger physical presence like maybe Tyson Chandler or the other night against Miami, you know, he's kind of had, you know, he's struggled a little bit. So it's nice to see him have a game like this where he's dominating and in the paint. You know he shot well from three. He's made a couple threes, but you know, it's an encouraging sign. And the other thing that I kind of keep going back to is him as well as Taj, but they're just offensive boards. I mean, Carl had a couple big offensive boards, and that's very encouraging to see, the second chance points. And, you know, like you mentioned, 66 points in the paint with, you know, him having a big part of that. So that's very encouraging to see him kind of step up to the challenge, especially after coming off of, you know, a down game against Miami. So it's a good sign, that's for sure.
Yeah, he looked great in that game. He was fun to watch. Before we shift over to the Washington Wizards game, can I just get on my soapbox for just a second? Because yeah. I want to talk about Andrew Wiggins. He is so much fun to watch. He has scored over 20 points in 11 of his 20 starts, which is the best in amongst all the starters that he is with. And he's playing with guys like Towns and Butler. And he shot six threes. He was hitting 66% from deep. Excuse me. The Maple Leaf Monster just showing up big this season. And I think he's doing a great job backing up the contract that he signed in the offseason, as well as he's improving defensively. You seeing some growth from him. And I think he's just good for 20 points a game. And that's something that this team really needs. And he also extends the offense of the Timberwolves out to that three-point line the most consistently of probably anybody on this team right now. I am all about Andrew Wiggins. I love the way he's playing. I love what he's doing for this team. And it was fun watching him do really well again last night against the Suns. And I'm just letting everybody know, look out for Andrew Wiggins, because he's going to continue to be a really key player in the offense and in the West.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, the thing is, he's always kind of had that offensive, you know, he's been an offensive power, you know, for his most of his career. You know, he's had that, which is obviously a very good thing. I'm not knocking that at all. But the thing that, you know, has really impressed me this year is his, you know, defense. And, you know, he's improved, I think, a lot in that category. You know, he's shown flashes. You know, he's I'd like to see him be a little bit more consistent in that area. But especially last night, you know, he really kind of at points took over the game defensively, as well as, you know, towards the end offensively. You know, and like you mentioned, he's shown that he's capable of that max deal. And I guess I'd like to see him be a little bit more consistent. I mean, that goes for really any player, but, you know, it's definitely encouraging to see, because, you know, we heard of that max deal, you know, and how Glenn Taylor wanted to talk to Wiggins, and you want to make sure that he's willing to step up to the challenge. You know, there were kind of red flags as far as, you know, questions asking, is he worth that max deal? And I think he's, like you said, he's backing that up this year. And that's very encouraging. And the biggest part of his game, you know, that he's improved is like I said, defense, and he's definitely the most improved player on the Wolves this year, that's for sure.
Do you think that there is a way for him to be a sneaky all-star player if he just to get on the all-star bench, if he rounds out the defense by maybe as early as mid-December and starts to be consistently where you want him to be, at least in the early stages of his kind of turnaround project where his defense is, you kind of start seeing that consistency on a night-to-night basis in mid-December, end of December. You think there's a chance he might be one of those guys who surges onto the All-Star team? He won't be a starter, but especially in the West, but do you think he could be a sneaky prospect to make the All-Star team?
I think there definitely could be a chance. I think that the only reason I think it'll be tough for him is because, you know, he is overshadowed by Jimmy Butler, Karl Anthony Towns. I know that, you know, when it comes to the All-Star game, you know, it's about stats, about voting, all that stuff. But, you know, he is kind of overshadowed by those other two guys. And the other aspect is the West is absolutely stacked. I don't know how you're going to, you know, pick, you know, the All-Star team this year out of the, you know, the players that even came over from the East among the players that were already in the West. So I think it'll be a little tough for him. I don't know if maybe this year if he'll get in, but you know, if he keeps up the way he's playing and if he even continues to progress, I mean, you can't ignore that improvement in, you know, the way that he's playing. So I think there definitely could be a chance where he's in that conversation, whether there's maybe an injury to somebody in the West and maybe he's a, you know, an injury replacement. But you know, it'll be tough, but if he continues to play the way he has and continues to progress like he has, you definitely have to consider it once the All-Star break comes around.
Yeah, I was talking last week with Dane about this, and we came to the conclusion that it might just be, if there's a Timberwolf who goes to the All-Star game, it might just be de facto Jimmy Butler, because that's kind of the narrative around the country is that Jimmy Butler is coming to save the Timberwolves from having another season where they miss the playoffs. So if anybody goes, it's probably going to be Jimmy Butler, but I would really like to see Wiggins just personally because I enjoy watching him play so much, and I've been a fan of his since he was a Jayhawk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and back to your little nugget on Jimmy Butler. You know, he last five or six games, he's also, you know, scored over 20 points too. So I mean, it's not like, you know, he's kind of mediocre. I mean, he's not the Jimmy Butler maybe that we're used to, has been, you know, to this point in the season. But he's starting to come around too. So I do agree that, you know, I think that he kind of overshadows Wiggins if, you know, people look at Minnesota, because I mean, you look at Minnesota, the first guy you think of is Jimmy Butler, like you said, or Karl Anthony Towns. So I think Wiggins kind of gets lost in that shuffle, but I agree. I would like to see his name in that conversation, and I certainly think that, you know, if he continues to play well and, you know, continues to play like he has and continues to do even better, you know, he deserves to be in that conversation for sure.
All righty, switching gears over to tomorrow night's game. Really, really good game. I'm really excited for Washington Wizards versus the Minnesota Timberwolves at home in the Target Center. They're going to be taking on the Wizards. I think that people look at this one and they're looking at the Wizards as maybe a down team because they have that weak bench and John Wall is out for at least about a week and a half longer because of that swelling in his knee. But Bradley Beal is leading this team in scoring right now. He has 24.2 points per game, and he has just been lighting it up, especially from deep. He's hitting 36%, which isn't great, but he's jacking up almost 7 shots a game. He really stretches the floor. He is a really great player, and he's definitely an all-star caliber guard. And he's kind of the guy who might be the sneaky candidate to be one of the better players in general in the East, especially because he's paired with John Wall.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, I really like that backcourt pairing of him and Wall. And when they're healthy, they are a tough team to beat. But, you know, Bradley Beal is, you know, he's a player that really the Wolves, that those kind of players the Wolves have had trouble with the last couple of years. Just, you know, the players that can take over a game behind the arc and, you know, with their shot. And Bradley Beal is that guy. And, you know, he has been for the entire year. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see kind of how he makes up for John Wall being absent, and you know how that all plays out. But you know, he's obviously a key factor in trying to defeat the Wizards. If you can keep Bradley Beal in check, I mean, without John Wall especially, that would be huge. But you know, it's like you said, it's going to be going to be an entertaining game, and it'll definitely be fun to see how that all plays out and kind of see what how the Wolves deal with Bradley Beal.
Well, in the backcourt is where the eyes, I think, naturally shift whenever you have the Wizards come to town. But with Morris and Gortat in the front court, that will be really interesting to see how Towns backs up the performance he had against the Suns against a duo in the front court of the Wizards that's very physical. We know that Towns has had his struggles against the physical front courts of opposing teams. So the Wizards bring in really physical play to the front court of this game. It'll be interesting to see how he backs up the other night's 32-12 performance.
Right, and I think the big thing with Carl is he just has to, and this goes with the rest of the team as well, but he's just got to get off to a nice start. It seems like whenever he starts to struggle early on, it kind of gets into his head, and he's as much as he won't admit it, I mean, any players like this, but, you know, they're worried about how they're doing, and they, you know, Carl's definitely that guy that worries about how he's doing and, you know, how he's performing throughout the course of a game, and points are a huge part of that. So when he is held in check, it's tough for Minnesota. And when he is playing well, they definitely take that next step, and they're a great team. So I'd like to see him, whether that be stretching out behind the arc to, you know, like he had against Phoenix and shooting a couple threes, just to kind of get him going. You know, I'd like to see that as well as being a big presence in the paint, like he had against Phoenix. So he's definitely a key factor. And, you know, if he can get going early on and he can show the kind of energy he did in against Phoenix, I think Minnesota will be in good shape against Washington.
Tell me if I'm wrong here, but I think you kind of want Towns to shoot maybe 6 or 7 threes this game, really try and stretch the floor, because Gibson he would be the more physical guy for me down low in the paint. And so if I can get either Morris or Gortat out of the paint to let Gibson have more one-on-one matchups against the glass, I think that would be the preferred way to attack this Wizards team. And so if Towns steps back and is hitting some shots from range, that might be the best case scenario for the Timberwolves against the Wizards in this one.
Right, exactly. And, you know, especially the other factor with Taj is he had, you know, 7 offensive boards against Phoenix, and they really did a nice job on the offensive glass. And I think that if you stretch, you know, Towns out and, you know, he's shooting deep shots, you kind of just let Taj go to work, especially even if, you know, Towns' shot isn't falling. If it's falling, that's great. If it's not falling, you know, odds are Taj is going to be in play to try and clean it up. So, I mean, I agree with that they should stretch Towns out. And I think just the most important thing is getting him the ball, getting him touches, Carl, that is, because, you know, he, especially, you know, against Miami, for instance, you know, when he's held scoreless or if he's struggling, like I said, he's not too much of a help out there. And, you know, it kind of seems like it shuts down the rest of his game. So they for one, got to get him touches, and he's got to get his shot falling. And if it doesn't, you know, you hope that Taj is down there cleaning it up, and hopefully that gets him going as well.
The Wizards not exactly a world-beating defense, and now with John Wall out, I think they lose even more defense. This feels kind of like a night where Jimmy Butler can go off for like 35 points. I know he hasn't had one of those yet this year, but this feels like one of those nights where early on Bradley Beal is hitting some threes and feeling himself and kind of John a little bit, and then in the second half of the game, Butler just goes off and he finishes with 35 points. This feels like one of those opportunities for him.
Right, definitely. I completely agree with that. And, you know, the other night, even against Phoenix, you know, Jimmy, we saw that from Jimmy where he could take over a game like he did early on. I mean, he scored first 8 out of 12 points or whatever it was. You know, I would like to see that as well, as him, you know, take over the game, especially because, you know, you typically see Wiggins, especially if the game is close, you kind of see Wiggins, you know, take over a little bit in the fourth quarter like he has so far this year. So it'd be nice to see Jimmy, you know, kind of establish that early on and, you know, early on in the second half or even in, you know, the third quarter out of the half. But it all depends, I guess, obviously how the game starts. And if, you know, if Bradley Beal is going off, you know, that probably doesn't mean too many good things for Minnesota, which means they're probably going to have to try and play catch up. And, you know, hopefully Jimmy's brings his A game and he's able to kind of take over that game. But I agree, it'd be great to see, you know, that the 30-point performance either from him or Towns or Wiggins, you know, just to see kind of one of those guys go off. That I think the Wolves will need that because, you know, like you said, you know, Bradley Beal, it's hard to contain him. It's hard to, you know, kind of keep him in check. So they're going to need somebody to kind of take over the game. And hopefully that is Jimmy. And it definitely would be good to see.
Before we move on here, the last thing I have for this game is the bench for the Wolves should clean up in a big way. The bench for the Wizards is just atrocious, and I really feel like this is a night where the Timberwolves bench can put up about 30-some points and really be a big part of this game and a big factor if they're going to win this game. So I expect the bench to have a really great night for the Timberwolves. Guys like Crawford, Belly, those guys should be able to put up some points and have some great numbers against a really atrocious Wizards bench.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the biggest factor, I think, is just whether or not Belly's healthy, you know, because obviously he changes a lot when he's, or that second unit changes a lot when Belly's not in there, and especially with Tyus moving into the, you know, the starting five, it's kind of slim pickings in the second unit, so it'd be big to get Belly back and kind of see him get back into the groove of things, but no, I agree that the bench needs to play a lot better than they have. It seems like, you know, whenever they've came into the game, especially against Phoenix, you know, the starters kind of get a, you know, 5-10 point lead, and the bench comes in and it seems like it's gone within a matter of minutes. So I mean, it's, you know, it would be nice to see them, you know, hold the lead or, you know, play well and when they all come in as a unit. So yeah, I agree, it should be a big game for them, you know, and hopefully Belly's back contributing to that second unit, and even if Jeff Teague's back in the starting lineup, to see kind of how Tyus, you know, interacts with that second unit again and see if he can continue, you know, to play how well, you know, as well as he's been playing in the last couple games.
Yeah, have them tighten up on defense will be a big part of that for sure. Mm-hmm. We'll be moving on to Mitch's love-hate here. One quick second just to remind everybody, tomorrow we're going to be talking about MyBookie, one of my favorite places to place a couple friendly wagers. I was actually using MyBookie all weekend long, cleaned up really nicely, had all the favorites on Thanksgiving, and was able to roll that cash over onto the Auburn Tigers and their upset win over Alabama, so a solid weekend of gambling, and I was able to get my payouts really quickly because of MyBookie's quick 2-day payout time. So their really quick payout time and turning around and getting your money back to you is one of the reasons that you should be using them. That's going down Tuesday. We'll be talking about that more in depth on why you should be using them, just previewing that. And on Wednesday, we have Draft Wednesdays. Make sure to get into my draft lobby, use the draft app to get in there and play me in basketball for some cash. Alrighty, it is time for the love hate. What do you love? What do you hate, Mitch? Going from last week, out of the entire week of Timberwolves basketball, call out some things that you liked.
We're gonna start or switch it around. Try and do this every other week. We're gonna start with hate. So we're gonna end on a positive note.
All right, I like it.
Starting with the hate, I got to go back to the defense. You know, it's kind of been the story all year, and even into the last few years, but the defense has struggled lately. I mean, they, especially with holding teams behind the arc and holding them in check behind the arc, you know, the Wolves on offense, you know, for shooting the three, they're, you know, at the bottom of the league in three-point attempt and, you know, percentages. But specifically on defense, you know, they have struggled holding teams in check from three in the last couple of games. Specifically, that Miami game was absolutely horrible from behind the arc. But you know, they're the worst in the league in the last five games in allowing, you know, three-pointers on the opposing team. But going back to defense, you know, their defensive rating is 25th in the league, which is definitely not good. Last five games has been even worse. They're 26th in the league, a couple points worse in defensive rating. But, you know, during that stretch, they're 2-3, which the wins that they've had, I mean, it's always obviously good to get wins in this league. You can't pass up wins, you know, at any point. But they beat Orlando and Phoenix, which isn't, you know, it's they're decent teams, but they're, you know, they should beat those teams regardless. So, you know, I'd like to see them clean things up defensively and kind of step it up defensively. Hopefully that can start against Washington. You know, obviously having John Wall out, hopefully that'll help hold Bradley Beal in check as much as they can. But, you know, defense definitely needs to step up, you know, and that definitely would be a key factor going into this week. Switching to Love, I can't avoid it. Tyus Jones, I've actually had him as my hate the last, well, I think the first week we did this a couple weeks ago.
You're making Jimmy Butler Tyus, proud.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to talk about exactly what Jimmy talked about for the whole last few minutes here, but Tyus Jones has been great as of late. You know, he's been exactly what the Wolves need, stepping in for Jeff Teague. And, you know, he's playing some of the best of his career as well. You know, his defensive rating is the best of his career. It's the lowest of his career. The last two games, you know, he's been great. And more specifically, he's great defensively. He's been great defensively. And, you know, he's, like I said, he's having a career year on that end of the ball. And, you know, that's, of course, having Tibbs at the helm of the team, that's definitely something that he loves to see. And, you know, the seven steals specifically last night, that, you know, that was awesome to see. And, you know, he's always kind of been that middle of the pack offensively, and he's been able to, you know, kind of step up when needed. But, you know, he can really make a difference on the defensive end of the ball. And, you know, I think he's been playing great. And hopefully once he goes back to that second unit and his minutes do kind of go back down a little bit, hopefully he can continue that stretch that he's been put together the last two games. And hopefully he can carry that to the second unit.
Jimmy Butler skyrocketing into the top five guys I would share a drink with after I made that list in the coming into the season. After seeing these interviews and kind of having him just around the city, just skyrocketing. I know this has nothing to do with what you're talking about, but
no,
just skyrocketing into that, my top five guys I would have a drink with.
Yeah, absolutely. That video of him in the locker room the other night
Fantastic. After the game, that was
great. That was great stuff.
But solid retweet from you, too. Solid retweet.
Yeah. All I said was LOL. That's all you really need to say.
Hey, you're bringing it to the forefront. You're one of the zone coverage guys bringing that content to his Twitter page, to the zone coverage site. That's what we like to see.
Absolutely. Helping out the fans. Helping out the fans.
That's what we're all about here. We're a podcast for the people.
Absolutely.
All righty. Mitch, you got anything to plug, anything on zone coverage to plug before we head out here?
I've worked on a Jamal Crawford, kind of a second unit story last week. You can check that out as zone coverage, kind of talking about how, you know, the second unit kind of goes as Jamal Crawford goes, you know, and he, when they've, you know, been playing well, Jamal specifically, and that second unit, they've been doing all right, but when they lose, they're very bad. So kind of, you know, they kind of dictate, I guess, how the game goes. As you know, obviously the starters have a big part, but, you know, the bench has been a key factor as well. And, you know, it would be nice to see them kind of step up and have a big game here. Hopefully that happens tomorrow night. But yeah, you can check out my Jamal Crawford piece at Zone Coverage.
Excellent. Definitely go check that out. Also, I have a top 10 tidbits of NBA storylines and games and stats that you should be paying attention to this week in the NBA. Go check out both of those, as long as all the other fantastic things to read on zonecoverage.com. Thanks a lot for coming on, Mitch. We appreciate you coming on every single Monday. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
He's Mitchell Hansen. I'm Colt Molesky. And this has been another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.